Hello, world, and welcome to my show, Sight for Sound Life Coaching, on bbsradio.com. My name is Janet, and I am your host and your life coach. And welcome to my show. This is a very special show today. It's my one-year anniversary at bbsradio.com. And today we're going to share the value of coaching. Got some phones in the background there.
Sorry, that's me.
Okay. So today's special show, I have... I guess I'll remind people to silence their other phones that they...
I have to go sit in my car.
Okay. Anyway, so today we have a special show. And it's a show about the value of coaching, and I have some very special guests today, former and present clients of mine, and perhaps some mentors will come on as well. And so this show is about the value of coaching, sharing thoughts on what people think coaching is, and sharing the results of coaching, and also feeling free to call in, and if you have any questions you'd like to ask me as a coach, feel free to call in. If you want to call in and share any thoughts, please do. So we're on a special conference phone line today, which is 605-475-6350, 605-475-6350. And your access code is 629-701, 629-701, and then you're going to press the pound key, and you come into the conference. So who do we have on the show so far? We have Mary Beth.
Yep, Mary Beth. I live in Boise, Idaho.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Yep, have been working with Janet for, oh, my gosh, 2 years, maybe? Is it
almost 2 years,
yeah.
Well, good. So we'll hear from you in a bit. I want to see who else is on the call just to say hi. Is Jim still with us?
Yeah, Jim in San Francisco. Hi. I've been with working with Janet for a couple of years now as well.
Great.
Maitri is on the call.
Maitria, hello.
Hi. I live in Los Angeles. I right now happen to be in New York City, and I'm a colleague of Janet's.
Hi, and Maitri's been a special guest on my show a couple of times. Welcome. Anyone else on the line right now?
Oh, Talia is here. Hi, Janet. Happy anniversary.
Talia. Thank you.
Yes, and I have been working with Janet for a year now, and it's been an amazing journey. And I live
indeed
in New York.
Oh, and I was just there. Yeah. I just went to visit Ortelia in Brooklyn, and then a friend of mine in Manhattan. So we have L.A. and New York and San Francisco and Boise, Idaho on the phone so far. Well, thank you for being here, and you are welcome to stay on as long as you want and as little as you want. I'm just going to introduce my definition of coaching, and then I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on coaching and the value of coaching. And if you want to share some specific results that you have had in working with me, that would be great. And again, anybody who wants to call in and ask questions or share thoughts, 605-475-6350. Who do we have now?
Hello, Miss Janet Kaler. You have Miss Sandy Bowles on the line.
Hello, Sandy. How are you?
I am fabulous.
Good, good, good. I hear a doggy.
Yes, you hear my dog. But I'm going to go to another room so I can be heard. Hello, everybody in the internet world. How y'all doing?
Well.
That's good. Well, I don't know if Sandy lives in Los Angeles as well, but She might have met Maitreya, maybe at a Sunday dinner, perhaps. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, I just want to share my thoughts on coaching. I got certified by Hans Phillips of Ontico Coaching. Thank you, Hans. And certified by him about a year ago. And I wrote a little thesis on coaching. And some of my thoughts about what a coach is. A coach is not a therapist, an advisor, or counselor. A coach has a myriad of life experiences upon which to recall and shed light on your situation, turning obligation into opportunity, hopelessness into possibility, victim into freedom, ugliness into beauty, suffering into joyful contribution, and vision into actualization. Lots more than that, but I think the coach is also a fallible individual who believes in you and your value and sees your beauty and spirit on a level that is incomprehensible to most. And I stop at nothing to make a difference in your life and ensuring that you create a positive impact on the world. And first and foremost, I want to thank each and every one of you that are on the phone and or who are listening, our past clients and present clients, because without you, I wouldn't have an opportunity to do what I'm doing. And I think that you all are my teachers as well. So I do learn a lot from all of you. And I want to personally thank Judy and Randy Revelle from Context Associated and Elizabeth Revelle from Context Associated. These are all my mentors, and Phil Holcomb and Lori Marcoux from Extraordinary Learning, and Noah Murphy from Noah Murphy Seminars, and again, Hans Phillips, who certified me last year from Ontico Coaching. So I have a deep appreciation for all my mentors and all of my clients, and a deep appreciation for BBS Radio, Don and Seth at BBS Radio, so thank you. And I'm calling from Boston. My origin of birth and where I grew up, and it's a beautiful day here. It's almost like fall. And I'm staying with a wonderful friend of mine, Richard, who was the first friend that I made in San Francisco when I moved out there. And he is also a graduate of some of the courses at Context Associated. And he lives here now in Boston and has been gracious enough to have me here. So thank you, Richard, personally. Okay, so I would love to hear people's definition of coaching, maybe from your own personal experience of coaching. And it could be from coaching with me or somebody else. Does anybody want to share some thoughts on that?
This is Mary Beth in Idaho, and I always defined it as my coach as my personal trainer for my mind, rather than my athletic trainer. It's my personal trainer, for my brain. And, you know, instead of, you know, I joke around with friends because I don't want it to appear to be a serious nature to them, but I took my journey very seriously. And when I embarked on my journey, I wanted to make sure that I was lightening things up a little bit as it appeared to others, so they weren't immediately thinking or saying, oh, my gosh, what is that? Is that somebody that is not well or disturbed? And I just would laugh, and I'd say, nope. It's my athletic trainer for my mind, and instead of going into, you know, getting older in age and looking at my own personal vanity, I'm looking inside instead of outside.
And very nice.
Yeah, I just laugh about it to myself now because I find so much irony in our materialistic world that we we unfortunately live in, at least. I love living. No, don't get me wrong about that. But, you know, there's so much out there about the misconceptions of what coaching is and how I want to look or be. It's just all about me.
Hi, Krista.
Hi.
Hi, MB.
Very nice.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
So nice. Hi, Janet. This is Krista from Boise, Idaho as well. What a great surprise.
I'm excited. I dialed in.
Well,
me too.
Great. Well, we're just talking about coaching, and Mary Beth was sharing her her definition of coaching, or really how she expressed it to other people, because coaching is not, you know, it's not for people who need to be fixed. In fact, I don't think that anybody needs to be fixed. It's for people who want or desire to make some kind of improvement or enhancement in their lives, and they do that by taking action in a positive, empowered, and at-cause way, and a forward-moving way, you know, because coaching is results-based, and it is forward moving, and it's not about living in the past. It's about honoring the past and taking what worked from the past and bringing it forward as an opportunity. And Mary Beth, you mentioned that you took it seriously, meaning that you really invested 100% of yourself in the process, and that's the idea, because the foundation from which I teach is from, you know, in ownership point of view, which is really an attitude that I'm going to own and I'm going to claim all my results and my thoughts and my emotions and whatnot. And the more I invest in something, my return on investment is proportionate to that. And I think you did a wonderful job, Mary Beth.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
My vocabulary has changed.
Yeah. Excellent.
Both internal and external. Yes.
I think that's for everyone.
Yeah, I have a big sign on my mirror that says yes. And
well,
that's been there for a good year. I think the glue is probably stuck permanently.
Mary, what do you got going on?
You are one of my clients who went through my 21 Days to Yes program. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And so I think I heard Sandy pipe in about the vocabulary. Do you have something to say about thoughts and words?
Oh, where do I begin on vocabulary? Vocabulary, I think, is extremely important, because thoughts are things, and once we use a certain word, we start manifesting maybe a negative energy with that word, depending on how you're using that word. So thoughts are things, and Janet always makes sure to make sure that we're always able to always, you know, ensure that you're speaking in a language of always being affirming as opposed to being negative, which does not suit whatever goal that one is trying to make for themselves, or at least for me. I'm working, or consistently currently working on finding the right words that are going to get me to the next level, to make sure that I'm not in the negative, but I'm always continuously in the positive.
Sandy and I have been having a lot of fun with words. Sandy's in my Law of Attraction group, which is a monthly group I hold at my house and at my home, and she and I have been having a lot of fun. So, well, that's good. So who else wants to share thoughts or ask any questions about coaching or your definition or share your results?
I would love to share my results and to say that when I first met with Janet and Edith, the group, the Law of Attraction group, I'll honestly say this, for me, I was a hot mess. I don't know if anybody understands that term, but
a hot mess.
and since it's been almost over a little bit over a year, And I have, you know, gone leaps and bounds. I'm a teaching artist, and I teach at Inside Out Community Arts, which is a nonprofit organization. I've lost 25 pounds. I have an agent. Things are moving in the right direction. My next goal is to move out and to find my own place. And none of this, I believe in my heart, would have been possible had it not been for Janet, because Janet, in my eyes, is sort of my physical Jiminy Cricket. And so when I'm in like in a zone or I'm not having a good day, I look into the law of attraction or I look into the things that I've been taught through the coaching, and I connected that, and it's my Jiminy Cricket. And so it works with me, and it helps me, and then I speak with Janet, and she helps me. And because of that, I really have grown. I'm also, you know, a distributor for a whole food product called Via Viente, which is one of the best products out there in the market. So if you all want to know about it, ask Janet to give you my contact information, and she will connect you with me. So at the end of the day, I have grown a lot, partly because I've taken the choice to make the initiative, but also because of the tools that I have that have been given to me through Janet's coaching. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. I like your Jiminy Cricket analogy. Thank you.
Well, this is Mary Beth again, and I think one of the outstanding themes in my work with Janet was choice. And recognizing that, you know, you had mentioned, Janet, the thematic one of the definitions of your coaching is not victimization but freedom. And I think for me personally, that was one of my breakthrough realizations, is that I have a choice. I have a choice to be a victim, or I have a choice to be free. In everything that I do, whether it's my personal, my physical, my spiritual, or my professional life. And that work that I did and that realization, it, all coming through a change in vocabulary for me, and taking ownership through my choices, really gave me the power to move forward no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like my choice.
Yes. So let's talk more about choice. I think that's a great topic. Who wants to share their thoughts on choice? We have Jim and Ortalia and Maitreya and Krista, I think, still on the line.
Yes, we are. I am. If I may, I'd like to share something besides choice, because one of the key things of how our paths have crossed wasn't with my conscious choice to create a coach. It just happened that way. Once I met Janet, there was no choice. That was the only choice. to me, any successful person is someone that allows someone else to guide them. You know, there's a statement that goes there, let me not be the sage on the stage, but the guide at the side. And Janet, you embody that so beautifully. I love the fact that you're so authentic. You say your mind. There is no BS. It is what it is. You don't think for others, but you guide them to think for themselves. I love the fact that there is strong compassion there. And it's not coaxing others. It is seeing their strength and allowing them to peel their ego aside. I love that. I love the fact that I have a witness to my ego whenever it wants to come in and rebel. And for me through this year, I have been an addicted codependent, and I have been working through the years of releasing that. I have done very well with enmeshment with others, and working with Janet really allowed me to see how I wasn't present to myself. And through this year, I have been working on completing my projects and creating a new project, which are books that we are looking at, manuscripts that we're looking at publishing. And taking and having the courage to take time out. I always felt that I didn't work smart. I worked hard. And since I have Janet in my life, I find myself that I am just guided in a different flow. I have learned to surrender much more.
Mm.
But it has been an amazing journey. And Janet, I have gone through my life with spiritual trainers as a teacher that I've been with for 9 years, and then I had my spirit guides. And I definitely feel that this was the conspiracy on my spirit guides to create someone physical there to project onto me and to allow me to see in the visible what is possible. So I thank you for that.
Mm, you're so welcome.
Thank you.
Everybody, Ortalia is this amazing, amazing woman, amazing healer, and I've had the honor to work with her for the last year. She's a world-renowned healer based in Brooklyn. And Ortalia, you just finished a book, and she's going to be a published author sooner than we think.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
Thank you.
And Ortalia is also, you know, one of my mentors. I consider you a mentor. And you have brought so much value to my life and have given me tools that I never knew to use, and have given me the space to take them on and to experiment, and my life is that much richer for that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Krista, how are you doing? Is Krista still with us? No? Okay. Well, I want to get back to Choice. If anybody wants to call in and ask questions or share your thoughts, it's 605-475-6350, and the access code is 629-701, and then you press the pound key. So what I like about Choice is, for me, it creates a sense of freedom. And the moment that I knew I had choice, which was back in 2001 when I was participating and assisting in a leadership course. And it was at that time when I really understood that I have choice in every single moment. I have choice to choose. I actually have choice to choose. I have choice over what I'm going to do with what's in front of me. I have choice over what I'm going to do with my emotions, what I'm going to do with my thoughts. It's just an awesome sense of freedom. And I think that is what we're all striving for, to be, is more of a sense of freedom. And with that sense of freedom comes a greater sense of goodwill in the world. I think it's when we think we have no choice that we feel like a victim. Do we have a caller? Nope, they must have fallen off. So when we know we have a choice, there's a great sense of freedom, and we no longer feel like we're a victim. Does anyone want to share a story or a moment where you thought that you had no choice?
This is Jim. I'll chime in and actually give maybe an answer you weren't expecting. For me,
I love those.
A choice. I'm sure I could certainly tell stories about times where in a negative situation I felt like I didn't have any choice. But I actually, one of the things that I loved about recognizing choice and owning those choices was At first, choice and ownership was a threatening idea to me because it sounded like a lot of taking accountability and blame for all the things I was doing wrong, and you know, and ultimately owning the things that weren't working for me was important. But it also had another side, which I gave myself the good with the bad, which was there were tons of decisions I made every day which were good decisions, and I wasn't owning those as choices either, and I wasn't giving myself any credit. And so ownership and choice was a sort of a rallying point for me. It was a base of operations that I worked out from and built out a sense of competency and capability, and changed my story about myself by saying, look, I'm capable, by owning all the little decisions I made right every day.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Jim. Jim's a wonderful client of mine in San Francisco, and I'm really glad you brought that up. I think it's as important to own the choices that I judge as good or positive or great, just as much as owning what I think I did wrong or was not a wise choice. Loving oneself is the most important thing. I just finished my book on loving myself first and giving to myself first so that I have more to give to others, whether it's in the family or the community or at the workplace. And one of the great steps in doing that is what Jim is talking about, is every day really taking a tally of the choices I made and, you know, what I'm proud of, and really internalizing that, so that being proud and owning my great results and owning my beauty and owning my potential it ends up being in the forefront of my mind. And then, you know, from that, then I'm actually being that. I'm being more positive. I'm being more in my potential, and I'm giving that to others just by my presence. I'm really glad you brought that up, Jim.
Yeah, and it created a virtuous cycle of that good feeling and that sense of accomplishment. Accomplishment is a juicy experience for me. So starting small and realizing all my little accomplishments throughout the week, and then challenging myself to, okay, what are some more accomplishments? What are some more opportunities for accomplishment this week? And rallying from there. But that's why I've described coaching as, to even jump around and talk about my metaphor for coaching, as I called it, my red pill or blue pill moment, where the same set of facts, the same actual reality, I could choose to look at it a totally different way. And once I did, I wasn't willing to go back to looking at it the way I used to.
Very nice, and you have results that show that. And Jim has come so far since the day I met him. And if you're willing, Jim, to share any tangible results with the world, that would be great. If not, I understand that you've just accomplished so much.
Sure, I went from. And it's a great example of the same objective facts and just a different sense of capability and feeling capable to and seeing the same set of reality a better way and feeling better about it and feeling more capable of working within it. That you know, within the same job, same economic realities and things, I went from living in a place that, when Janet saw it, she described as, this place is not worthy of you. And in retrospect, I agree. And I went from that and driving an old beat up car, and I'm not a super duper materialistic person. But it fit my narrative of, this is what I deserved. I deserved a little dark place with bare walls, and I deserved a unreliable car, and just had a sort of self-effacing narrative, and seeing things a totally different way. Now, I just bought a new home. I live in a beautiful place, and I just this past weekend got a new reliable car that I'm so happy about, and I've attracted new wonderful people in my life, and I heard somebody else talk about they're getting enmeshed with situations that I took as the implication maybe weren't great, and I can say that I've removed myself from some personal enmeshments that weren't great and that weren't working for me. And so I just have tangible results, you know, in any way I could imagine slicing it.
Mm. Yay, Jim. We laugh about when you first started working with me and we were looking at the answers you gave to the preliminary questions and then how you answer them now. And if somebody read the old Q&A and they read the new Q&A, they would never, ever believe that you are the same person. It's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, anyone want to call in, ask questions, share thoughts, 605-475-6350. It's Janet Cleary in Sight for Sound, BBS radio show, and your life coach and host, radio host here on this lovely Tuesday early evening in Boston, afternoon in L.A., and I am a life coach, and every other Tuesday is my show at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And I have some very special people on the line, past clients, current clients, and mentors, and we're talking about the definition of coaching or what we think coaching is. We're talking about the opportunity and the results from coaching. And anyone have anything they want to ask? Share.
This is Maitreya.
Hi, Maitreya.
Hi. I wanted to say two things for me that a coach is someone that holds me to account and someone that can see my bigness or my wholeness even when I forget it and is willing to remind me of that.
Hmm.
And that has probably been one of the key things that has pulled me forth, is having someone remind me of my master self, for the lack of better words,
mm-hmm.
when I get caught up in human drama.
And we love the drama.
Yeah. So those two, and then to hold me to account that I said I was going to do X, either I need to renegotiate X or I need to go do it. But it just
and you have choice.
Right, it doesn't fall by the wayside as something that gets forgotten.
And I think sometimes when, you know, when we say we're going to do something and we don't do it, it's nice to have a coach or a mentor that, because they're, you know, they're non-objective and non-judgmental. So people tend to have shame around certain areas in their life, and it's I think it's easier to let go of the shame in working with a coach or mentor.
This is Ortalia. The other piece I want to add on, for me as a parent, my daughter seeing you as a coach coming here, I know that her sense of respect for me just grew for the fact that I'm willing to work on myself with a coach, and I can see the opportunity for her to even consider getting a coach for herself. And that
mm-hmm.
door opens up as a parent showing the example, you know. And one of the key things with the successful people, they always have consultants around them. They always have people that will give their feedback to support and be that objective witness and guide them through that. And that's how people become successful. So
I agree.
Yeah, I definitely feel that behind, you know how they say, behind every man, a successful man, there is a woman. I think behind any successful person, there is a coach. So,
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
I do.
And it's amazing in how short of a time things get moving and creating because someone holds you accountable.
Yep, that little Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder. Or the, what would Janet do? Or what would Janet say? Or what would this coach do? And what would this coach say? You know, it's, but it, you know, it's like the residents in general, the position of a president has a Congress, you know, I mean,
okay.
Successful people have, they have objective mirrors around them. And
Mastermind groups,
yep. I have a mastermind group myself, and this leads to the notion that the more I know myself, the better my life works. And when I have more information about myself, and I find that out, one way I find out more about myself is through a coach because they're an objective mirror. But the more information I have about myself, the more I have to work with.
And the more I learn to value myself.
Yeah.
So I create more value.
Wonderful, Artalia.
Yeah, I create more value, yeah.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. And, but again, as Mary Beth was saying earlier, is in, and Maitreya was saying about hold me to account is, the client must do the investment, you know. So if you're going to invest 100% in the process, your return is going to be 100%. Everyone is different too. You know, some people go for it and just dive right in, and some people's process is slower, and it's okay no matter the pace. I know I have some clients who have a slower pace, and they seem to be apologetic, and that's not necessary, you know. Everybody is different. And it teaches me patience.
May I interject there? This is Maitreya.
Yes.
I was thinking, as a coach, I find that I get to practice what I preach. And so having coachees, for the lack of better words,
yes.
It really calls me to walk my talk in a different way and really embody the teachings that are coming forth rather than being a hypocrite. So I wanted to put that out there for people. You know, once you get something, the best way to learn it is to start teaching it.
They say the teacher teaches what they most need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to say, instead of learn, I like to say remember, because we do have everything that we need to know inside of us. And but it is, you know, at the beginning of my call, I was thanking all of you because you are my greatest teachers. And I learned so much about myself, not just as a coach, but as a woman and as a friend and as a daughter and, you know, a cousin and whatnot, and I really do learn a lot about myself, and I do gain a lot of insight and wisdom for to grow my coaching skills as well. So every trigger that has been fired up inside of you has been fired up inside of me. So I guess we're never really alone in our, especially in our triggers. Does anyone have any good trigger stories, by the way? Any hot button stories?
I need an example when you mean that.
Well, let's see. Usually, it's a personality of somebody that brings up a lot of, it could be frustration or anger or irritation in me. You know,
I mean.
Well, I had a Clismatria. I had a client one time who got very rageful in the session, and instantly I went into fear. I thought my father was yelling at me. I became about 5 years old.
Wow.
And I was supposed to be the coach, and I lost it amongst this client's anger. So
wow.
I realized that I was grateful for that person showing me that I still had something to grow through. And I needed to be resolved with my issues around other people getting angry at me.
Right.
Is that the kind of story you want?
Yeah. And even if I didn't, it was a great value to share.
Well, and now I did. I went to my own coach and said, look, this came up. Let's work on this, and now I'm able to handle is probably even the wrong word, able to embrace, there's the word, embrace a client when their rage comes up, and I can just be with that.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's very good. And as I was speaking to earlier, that, you know, a coach is someone who is fallible as well, and a coach is somebody who has a myriad of life experiences. I think that's what makes an excellent coach. And what makes an excellent, I'll say, student or client is the willingness to be open and to hear what you don't want to hear or to see what you don't want to see. Yeah. So that's a great example of a trigger.
Well, for me, this is Ortelia. My trigger the last week has been my daughter who came from the West Coast for a visit. And there's that piece of me that sees all the gifts. I'm very appreciative about the fact that it really takes me to reflect even deeper. And Janet and I did a session earlier today, and I said, I just have to cry. Because in the past, what I would do, I would just allow the anger to take over rather than allowing the pain and going through the tears and just softening up with it and going to the place of self-forgiveness. And today, I just allowed myself to have the cry. And I found that by doing that, I just allowed it to. I actually felt how everything around me just thawed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The whole freeze just thawed. Everything inside became soft. And I went back to a place, to a bubble of, it doesn't matter. It's all good. And just as soon as I've done that, the trigger no longer was there.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it, you know, and desensitizing the triggers really is putting yourself in situations often enough where you're being triggered to a point where it just, you're just not bothered anymore. It dissolves, you know. It's
right.
Kind of like stepping into a fear. You know, if I have a fear, if I keep stepping into it, then it's going to dissolve.
Right.
It's not going to seem like a big deal.
Went into the vulnerability and it all was gone.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people quit their relationships if they're triggered too much. And what I say is to stay there. A colleague and a mentor of mine, Noel Murphy, he and I became friends fast, and we just were hitting every button possible in each other, and we just wanted to quit. And we decided that we were going to have some fun and make it a game. And we started to name our triggers and agreed that when we were triggered that we would stop and we would just say, you know, like one of mine is, you're wasting my time, trigger. So if I think that someone is wasting my time because I'm impatient, then, you know, it's a trigger. And it's usually with the same person or the same personality trait. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily time to go. It's more like an opportunity. Master that.
So who do we have on the call right now? We have, I know Ortalia and Maitreya are still here.
We still have Jim.
Jim. Anybody else? Okay. I was hoping to talk to Krista, but I don't know if she got cut off. If anyone wants to call and ask questions or share your thoughts on coaching, 605-475-6350, 605-475-6350, and the access code is 629-701, and then the pound key. Well, that's good. So thank you for sharing that story. I know, I think the triggers often come up in the family dynamics, and I know I worked through a lot of them with my own mom, and they just don't come up that often. And I noticed that she, just as a result of that, that she's not triggered as often as before.
It's kind of like what Jim was saying about the red pill or the blue pill.
Yes.
Making a different perception.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the coach, I think, can really provide an opportunity to look at a present situation and shed some new light on it that just might be able to make a shift rather than having to end a relationship, as you said.
Mm-hmm. It's true, because when I'm triggered, it's not about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're conditioned to think it's about another person, think that it's about an outside source. As Mary Beth alluded to earlier, that she realized it was all within her, and so she was taking a look at her mind and inside of herself rather than thinking it was outside of herself. And we have years of conditioning here, so sometimes it takes a while, sometimes not.
And it's a great opportunity. This is Jim. So my example of that is at work, and I had fairly and squarely burned some bridges here at work and had some triggers of my own that I wasn't dealing very effectively with. And, you know, my first reaction was, well, I'm going to leave. I'll go somewhere else. And but then working with Janet, I grew to see this as an opportunity of, even if I do decide to leave later, why not use this place as a little bit of a training dojo and grow and work on my triggers and smooth those things out. And not for the purpose of getting other people to recognize it or gain some recognition here. It might be true that the other people have a attitude about me that you know, is cemented and wouldn't change even as I do. But what a great free opportunity to work out here and then go into somewhere else and not take that crap with me, as I think Janet said to me once.
Yeah, why take the crap with you? but look at the divorce rate. Divorces, I mean, a lot of them are because there's the blame game, and thinking that it's the other person, and thinking that if they go to a new relationship that all is going to be, you know, perfect, in the sense of perfect, like nothing to work on, and fantasy land, and no work, and whatnot, and it's just not true. And who would want that, really? I would be bored to death, to be honest with you. It's this no greener pastures attitude that I learned at Context Associated, is there are no greener pastures. So as Jim says, a training dojo, you know, stay in the game. Stay in the game and work on whatever internal conflict I have, work on it here in this game. And then if I want to leave the game, go to another game, as I say, and or to, you know, to another job, to another relationship, and the same situations will come up, the triggers will come up, but you'll know how to deal with it in a more harmonious way.
Yeah, and it's a great illustration of the general theme of the opportunity to see the same set of facts with an entirely inverted perception. Instead of, I felt like a victim at my job, you know, I have this horrible job, and now I think, oh, what a great opportunity to have this job that I can experiment, I can try new things, I can work some things out, and then if I, you know, at the end of all that, I can stay or I can leave, and it doesn't matter because I currently, you know, at the time I was having this thought, didn't like the job, and so felt like, now, what an opportunity to have no risk, no fear, like, I've already decided to leave this job, why not stay and play with it a little bit?
Mm-hmm. And you get paid.
Yeah. So seeing something as a huge opportunity, a big free, like a big free extra game to play. An extra quarter in the game machine, instead of something that I'm the victim of.
Could I shift the conversation?
Oh yeah, and we have 4 minutes left, so go ahead, Maitreya.
For me, a coach really was supportive and is supportive when I fail. To have that attitude of failure, the idea that, you know, just asking me, well, who are you going to be now? Who are you going to be with this failure? And getting a level of acceptance, not making necessarily right or wrong, teach me what I can learn from it, rather than some of the ways that I grew up with some of the teachers I had that was very much based in shame around failure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that is a great point. The question is, who are you going to be? And what you judge as a failure. So it is a very important question to be asked and to ask yourself is who am I going to be in this? And that's the ownership right there. And that is where the freedom begins, right then and there. And there is this level of forgiveness too in that question. And I think forgiveness, I have made forgiveness a huge part of my coaching. You know, the self-compassion and forgiveness. And when I think I fail, you know, if somebody thinks that they fail, well, who are you going to be? Who do you choose to be? Thank you for that, Maitreya.
Welcome.
And by the way, Maitreya just published a book, but it's a few months now, 4 or 5 months?
Yeah, it was published in March.
Yeah. And it's called The Sisterhood of the Dove, and it's about, you know, there's a level of forgiveness in that book too, what forgiveness does for a person. And really, when I forgive myself, I'm actually taking ownership for my life, and I'm not giving my power away, and I'm not out of control. I'm actually in control of my life when I forgive myself. When I don't forgive myself, I'm hanging on to that yucky energy, to the yucky thoughts, and so then I'm living in a victim role.
Yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, go ahead, Adelia.
I definitely believe that one of the key things in us, in order for us to succeed in life, is about trust and faith. And until we get to that place of full self-forgiveness, we constantly ask ourselves again and again, and stress is there because we don't trust our choices. You know, subconsciously we feel we need the self-punishment because we haven't forgiven ourselves. And I find that the more I forgive myself, the more I allow trust in. So one of the key things for me with a coach is to retire the story and write to my glory.
Ah! Say that again. Retire the story.
And write to my glory.
Oh. That's wonderful. Retire the story and ride to my glory. I love all the slogans. I love all the slogans. Retire my story and ride to my glory. So when I retire my story, I'm seeing things as they truly are.
Right.
Yeah.
And
the light. What?
I see the light.
Yes. Well, it's time for us to go, and I'm so happy you all came on the show, Mary Beth and Jim and Sandy and Ortalia and Maitreya and Krista, and to everyone who is listening. It means a lot to me that you took the time to be here and talk about the value of coaching and the value of personal awareness and self-awareness and living in your potential. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening. Nice meeting you, Jim.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Good night. And we'll see you September 9th on my next show at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on bbsradio.com, bbsradio.com. And this is Janet Kaleri, Site 4 Sound, 323-252-0963. See you soon. Bye.